Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, only two more days to Fireball Friday.
That's right.
Chuck Bonwell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Who's straight up?
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Hey, and I have to start off with some apologies. We have Dr. Brian Junedep coming up in a moment, and then Janik Josie. And Janik, I had initially said, no, I mix up the times. And Janik, you are at 3:30, if that's okay. So we can get you here in a minute.
Right.
That's all right.
I
should not do fireballs before booking the show. That's
trying the fireballs out, huh?
Hey, so we have Janik Josie, who picked up a great endorsement. We'll have him here in a few minutes, but wanted to start off with Dr. Brian Junedep, who had a great column in American Thinker. If you give an illegal immigrant, although you're more polite than that, a cookie. Hey, Brian, welcome and thank you for your time.
Howdy. Yeah, I'm glad it worked out. So get me in the car.
That's all right. Hey, you know, and I couldn't help. So when Rev was little, that was one of our favorite books to read. I mean, there's If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, there's If You Give a Pig a Cupcake. And why don't you explain the premise of the book and how it ties into these outrageous demands illegal immigrants are making of Denver?
Well, it's a great book, and I read it to my kids when they were little, so certainly familiar with it. But not only are we opening the border, we are facilitating illegal migration to the U.S., starting in South America, Darien Gap, NGOs providing food, money, directions, paperwork, et cetera, making it very easy for them. And now that they're here, it's not enough to give them $1,000 a month gift card. It's not enough to provide housing in a hotel and provide food and health care. That's still not enough. Now they have a list of demands, and it's you got to give them legal representation, health care on demand, culturally appropriate meals. They have a laundry list of things that it's like being a guest at somebody's house, and they take you in and they're taking care of you, and then you're demanding the meals and that the beds are made a certain way and they have chocolates on the pillow and all sorts of other stuff. It's like, come on.
It's like, well, and some of the demands, what's crazy about them is they're not even things that like American citizens would get, right? They want transportation to and from school for their kids. They want free legal representation. Yeah. They want transportation to and from the court hearings that, you know, I mean, and it's like you said, yeah, the best was culturally appropriate food with fresh ingredients. Now, given the fact that we've got immigrants coming from all over, I'm not sure really how the city would fulfill this. I'm an actor. Access to showers constantly, no verbal abuse, no mental abuse. I mean, it's just, and it is, it's like in the book, which the premise of the book is if you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to ask for a glass of milk. If you give him a glass of milk, he's going to ask for this, and it's never, never ending.
They forgot to ask for the voter registration card.
Well, they already have those. Already have those.
they'll just hand them a ballot. It'll be all filled out already.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, these demands, culturally appropriate food. How many cultures are coming? It's not Mexicans and Central Americans. Your people coming from Russia and China and Africa Afghanistan. Culturally, maybe the Russians and Nigerians don't want burritos and beans and rice. Maybe they want borscht and saffron rice, or who knows what.
They've had a long trip, a tough ride, and they need to.
Yeah.
Well, for a while.
You know, and here's the thing. And I mean, not, you know, the city of Denver has spent, depending on where you look, anywhere from 42 to 70 to more million dollars in the past year alone on this. I mean, they're cutting city services. They're cutting park and rec hours. They're cutting police and fire budgets. And now the Denver taxpayers are supposed to meet this list of demands. It's just, I mean, it never ends, really.
Well, and they want free legal services, so I'm sure Chuck will volunteer his legal expertise.
They don't mean exactly free legal services. They mean they want the people who drew up this list, who are their attorneys, to be paid by the city and county of Denver. They don't expect attorneys to not get paid. It's just it'll be free to them. That's an important distinction. You must remember that one.
I don't know if Mayor Johnston's going to pay your hourly wage.
Of course he is. They're demanding it.
You know, and as I said, the whole list was read by this woman, V. Reeves, a blonde American woman wearing a pro-Palestinian scarf. My guess would be that many of the illegal immigrants had no idea that they had come up with this list of demands. It did not appear to be written by somebody whose, you know, English was a second language. And I think it's right. This is just the professional NGOs who are making a ton of money off of this, making sure that they make more money.
Well, sure. She's working for an NGO funded by U.S. Tax dollars, like the NGOs in Panama City that are facilitating the flow from Ecuador. You can get into Ecuador without a visa, and everybody's coming from everywhere to Ecuador, and the NGOs are shuttling them up north through Darien Gap and Central America and just pass them on through.
Right.
But healthcare services, if you want to go see a specialist, you may wait 4 to 6 months to see a rheumatologist or a kidney specialist, neurologist.
You got to get on the list there yourself. You got to make.
Yeah, you could get a piece of this. Well, you know, one thing that's interesting is what's interesting is the city of Denver, I'm sure, is complying, and Mayor Johnston isn't going. Johnston's going, no way, no way. And this ties into, I think, what the real reason for this massive millions and millions of illegal immigrants coming into our country. And I believe it gets to voter stuff. Was it Tucker Carlson? He had Catherine Engelbrecht with True the Vote on, and she pointed out that it's Title 18, I guess, that says in the United States, it is not illegal for an illegal citizen, an illegal immigrant, a non-U.S. citizen to vote if they honestly thought it was okay for them to vote. And so, my guess is it goes like you said, they're giving everybody a ballot as they go through and they're getting their name. And what they need the Democrats do is they need names so they can attach ballots to names. And then lo and behold, these people are going to vote. I mean, I think that's sort of the underlying push for all of this.
Well, I'm sure it is. Well, the mob.
Whoop. Hey, you're breaking up a little bit, Brian.
Whoop. Frozen.
You're frozen. Uh-oh, they froze him. He needs free transportation to stuff. But if you can try reconnecting. Otherwise, we can give yourself.
I need legal representation.
Exactly. But Chuck, don't you think that's a part of me? That's shocking to me. And it goes back to when Jenna Griswold mailed postcards to 30,000 illegal immigrants reminding them to register to vote. Arguably, every single one of them could then turn around and say, I thought it was okay.
Why wouldn't I think I could vote? But I don't. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you sent me a thing. And I think, are you there? Oh, there. Now you're unfrozen, Brian. I mean, I think that in the end, and that's why none of the Democrat cities are pushing back against this.
Well, because if they believe they're citizens, then they can vote. There's something in this recent omnibus bill that said if a illegal migrant believes they are a citizen, they can vote. And I can believe I'm the Queen of England, but they won't let me into Buckingham Palace.
Sure, they would. You just have enough faith.
It's their truth. It's their truth that matters, right? It's like you could be dead, and if you believe you can vote, you should be able to vote.
Well, one thing that might be shocking is, you know, most of Venezuelans are kind of fleeing a socialist government, They make I'm not voting for Democrats.
Yeah, but they are, because they get free rein here. If they misbehave there, they end up in prison. If they misbehave here, they get you know, Brownstein law firm defending them, and they get so it's much different. You go to these other countries, they don't want to be there. They don't want to be in El Salvador, where all the gang members are getting locked up in a horrific prison. I mean, it makes Supermax look like the Four Seasons.
Yeah. Well, and then you throw in too some recent research that, and I'm sure this is, it's even worse than this, that shows that over 50% of the illegal immigrants who have come into the country, it was a study on the economic impact, right? And it was saying, don't work. They aren't employed. They're not even seeking employment. They don't work at all. And I think that's just the ones that they could find and somehow count, right? And so these people then are coming, many of them, they're not working. They're not contributing. They want all free stuff. I mean, Denver Health Human Service or Denver Health Hospital, you know, is going bankrupt, although it's always going bankrupt. But I mean, all of this has repercussions on taxpayers. And it seems like the blue cities are like, hey, we don't care. There, as Joe Biden says, there are Hispanic voters.
Oh, that's very true. The majority that are coming are unskilled, illiterate. They don't speak English. What are they going to do? This is not engineering visas that Apple and Google are getting young Indian tech school graduates to come and code and write software and do other things. They're not working, and there's no incentive for them to work. They're getting fed, they're getting their health care. You just walk into Denver Health and you have a stomach ache, a headache, whatever it is, they will see you, and they don't have any money to pay. Denver Health's $130 million in the red this past year. The university's providing a lot of uncompensated care. That's not viable long term. Denver Health will go under at some point.
Well, no, it is a good level one trauma center. It is somewhat important. And you're right. If you're an American citizen and you go in and you can't pay, they put you on a payment plan, right? If you can't pay in full, they don't just waive it the way that they do if you're an illegal immigrant. So that's part of the problem too. Well, you know,
you'll be put on a payment plan. Exactly right. You'll have to put a deposit down, credit card payment plan, and they'll go after you. You'll be sent to collections. They'll put a lien on your home if you have one. They don't mess around. They're a business and they have to get paid. They have costs.
Right. Well, and then here, Jacob brings up a good point too. USA Today says Colorado is the third most dangerous state in the country. What they did is they reviewed property crime and violent crime, and per capita, Colorado is the third most dangerous. And again,
who beat us?
Yeah. Washington State, I think, was beat us.
Washington State,
and I think Arizona. Yeah, the state. Well, I mean, there's these incredibly progressive. Well, I mean, you know, well, you have all these people coming in who, you know, I mean, the cartels are involved in a lot of this stuff too, right? It's, you know.
Well, the cartels and fentanyl in downtown Denver is really becoming uninhabitable. You can go right downtown during the day, but it's not a pleasant place. It's not a.
Yeah, but the good thing is Mayor Johnson, you know, now has another $500 million. Union Station program that we all can benefit from.
They're going to pour more money into downtown Denver.
nobody wants to go down there because it's dangerous. It's not improving. They're getting more and more.
Let me ask you this question. So here's the deal. They're going to do a TIF thing and all that for another $500 million, but they don't know how they want to spend it. So they've got a website set up where you can go and tell them how to spend the $500 million. Now, somebody that thinks that money hasn't already been pledged to every person you can imagine, every big developer, that it's really, we just want to hear what you say, folks. You know, we've got a $500 million here. And you say, well, give me a 10,000. No, we can't do that because we got. But what they're really going to do is they're going to convert office buildings into residences, and that's where they're going to take the money. But they don't want to tell anybody that. They want to have a website, and then they say it's amazing. All we ever heard from you folks is turn the office buildings into residences. So we're gonna fulfill your wishes because, you know, we're your government and we respond to you.
There are a handful of people that will get very wealthy. This will be a repeat of the airport many years ago.
Exactly.
People that are right now buying property at fire sale prices that affordable housing will be
Let me just get this off my chest. What the deal is a lot of the banks have taken these office buildings back, you know, they're debtor in possession. And they've really written off the $200 million or whatever it is that the loan was, but they don't want to spend any more money. And so what's going to happen is Denver will give them, you know, millions upon millions to build residences and then no cost to them. And then once that's been converted, they can then sell. You know, they've got a real thing there. It didn't cost them a penny, but now at least they've got an asset that's worth something.
Illegal immigrants need to ask for a piece of that action. That's what they put on their next demand list. Yeah. That's what they should put on the next one. Hey, well, listen, Brian, we're going to let you go. Go ahead.
Yeah, what? I mean, you're going to have entities like BlackRock that have been buying up foreclosures.
Hey, Brian, the connection's a little sketchy.
Turn around into a nice prop.
Yep.
Exactly. Hey, listen, we're going to let you go. Part of it, my scheduling fault too, but thank you for your time. I recommend everybody read it at American Thinker. If you give an immigrant a cookie, we'll see you later. Travel safely. And before we go to Jana, because Johnny Johnson wanted to come on. He has firsthand information on why Denver is number three. Johnny, are you there? You want to unmute yourself?
Yeah. I learned firsthand how dangerous Denver is. And this is really crazy because I lived in California in 81 when I was 21, and this happened to me then. And what they say, it takes 10 years for it to get to Denver.
And, wow.
Well, it took, 40 or more years to get here. Me and my wife, we were walking towards King Supers on 14th and Spear, and this guy comes up behind me saying, you're not going to F with me again. Punches me in the back head. I fail because I'm about to turn around and say, do we know each other? And he kept his back to my wife. So she couldn't see his face. And he went across the street, picked up some rocks. And what we found out was when the cops came to, because I did a report, the cops came and said, that the this guy had been on a 12-hour rampage, and they are just building a case against this guy to see if they can
get it for something more solid.
Get him with something solid. But it was just real interesting because, like I said, I said California has finally come to Denver.
Yay. Well, and so you're talking about the kind of attacks that we've been hearing where, I mean, these are people who are high and they're out of their brains, right? And are out of their minds. And so you're just walking there on Spear by 14th in a hugely crowded, populous area. And some guy walks up out of the blue, punches you in the back of the head and says, don't F with me or stop effing with me. And that was it.
And he had punched this other lady So he started picking up rocks and started bashing windows and cars. So,
well, I can see why the police, you know, didn't have any reason to arrest him. That was the case. You know, it'll take a couple of years and it'll be Denver is.
That's kind of crazy. Hey, Johnny, listen, thank you. But he said, and also then Jacob filmed it, Colorado is behind New Mexico and Arizona. I saw where Washington, though, had the second highest property crime. Hey, Janik, and you may have, and I apologize, everybody. I kind of did my booking scheduling goofed up here. Chuck, you should not leave me in charge.
She was trying out different fireballs this afternoon.
Yeah.
Seeing which one she liked the best.
Janik, if you're there, if you want to turn your camera on and unmute yourself, otherwise we can wait till 3:30, which is when I actually told him. And thank you to Doug, too, who was straightening all of this out. But, you know, I think until we get Janik, I think, Chuck, it's just, you know, interesting about the immigrants. And I want to point out something that I read this morning, too. Remember on Monday, we had Colonel Mills was on, and he was talking about how, shockingly, some of the pro-Palestinian people they were finding when they went in there were actually Chinese, and they were here illegally because the first thing they were doing was asking for their consulate, right? Well, today, and Breitbart, he talked, there's a new report from something called the Network Contagion Research Institute, and he said, this organization was looking at the money coming from the various sources. And one of the sources that's been funding all these pro-Palestinian things is something called Shut It Down for Palestine, which makes sense, right? That's what they're trying to do. Well, it has significant connections to the Chinese government. And the whole point of this Chinese government project is to push anti-America and anti-Israel. It's linked to a guy by the name of Neville Roy Singham, and his wife. And basically, these people are, I mean, it's absolutely true. I was kind of like, Chinese, are you sure? What would be the point? But it is like Colonel Mills and you surmised, it's just to sow anti-American stuff, chaos, insurrection, and just make everything a pain here. I mean, it's funded by China. So that's you know, who knew,
it's
right?
It's not funded by China. It's funded by
people
with ties through NGOs or something.
Right. Well, no, this guy is a Chinese billionaire. He's a Chinese billionaire.
Okay, I'm sure Chinese billionaires are screwing with us, but they can just get in line.
Right.
So many people screwing us.
With everything. Well, and it's just, when you look at, though, there is this, and I think that's why everyone needs to be aware about the psyops going on, right? Because it can be kind of overwhelming if you look at it and you think, oh my God, everything is chaos. Everything's going crazy, right? And then when you take a step back and you realize how things are being manipulated and who is doing the manipulation, on the one hand, I think it's a little bit less scary, but it's more evil and insidious. Just like, you know, Johnny getting attacked, right? That's something, you know, Mike Johnston is fine with that happening in a city because he could end it easily. Easily, if he wanted to, right?
Oh, he's working on many important things. So
he's working on, well, and that's what your editorial is on, right? This downtown, this new business development thing. It's like, don't deal with the crime. Don't deal with the homelessness. Don't deal with any of that other stuff, right? Don't deal with the fact that they're making it so incredibly expensive to commute that unless you live in downtown Denver, which no one wants to do, you can't afford to work there, let alone park there. Don't address any of that, right? But we need another half
billion. Well, they will be addressing that because they'll put a huge amount of residential units on the market. So,
yeah, so that'll help things there, right?
Oh yeah, we'll be all set. I'm not sure if I was a bondholder, I'd want to invest in that one, but who knows? Who knows?
Well, I mean, I think I kind of think downtown is probably lost for the foreseeable future. I mean, you look at the 30% vacancy rate. I was reading a thing off the downtown.
See, it won't be 30% anymore because it'll be all changed into residences.
Right. But I read another study that said that that's impossible, right? These are office buildings. Anyone who's been in like a downtown office, you have like one kind of outer office. Then you have the inner one. You have like one bathroom on the floor. You don't have the plumbing. You don't have any of the infrastructure that, you know, that it would be cheaper to tear them down.
Well, of course it'd be cheaper. That's not the point, Julie. Oh. They own the property. If it's incredibly expensive, they don't care.
Oh,
they're
fair.
Not going to pay, you know, they're not on the line for it. The bondholders are. So you got to kind of understand these things. This is fun stuff.
This is fun from Johnny at 500 million of new building and businesses are leaving. Well, exactly. It's like, you know, and if you again, it's not going to work, but I guess you're right. The point isn't to make it work, is it? The point is for it to make other people rich.
Yes, it's to pay these people, the people who own these office buildings or the banks, or maybe they bought them really cheaply. I don't know if you can buy them cheap enough. And they'll convert them into residences. And yes, it'd be easier to tear them down and build them back up. But, you know, and then, you know, it's all paid from TIF money, which is increased in property tax and everything else that'll be caused by it. It's a wonderful scam. And but the one I just can't help but love the part where they're going to go, we don't know what we want to use the money for. You tell us. We work for you.
We will raise all of this money. And then you tell us what you want to do with it. And of course, we will ignore anything that you say. No,
because I've done this one before. I mean, I've been involved in these before. That's what I know. all the people, they give all their comments and stuff. Say, unbelievable. You want exactly what we want. Oh, how did we know? You demand the office buildings be converted into residences and have some affordable units in there. Oh, my God, you guys are so brilliant. Thank you. We will do what you tell us to do.
Well, and here's the thing. They're going to get the reverse thing because so now you're still going to have no businesses in downtown Denver, right? And now you're going to have all of these people living cheaply in downtown Denver who are now going to have to commute to wherever it is that they're going to work. Although maybe they could just fill it with the illegal immigrants who don't work and have no intention of working.
That won't work. You got to get some people with money who can pay the rent and pay. You know, you will reserve, you know, at 20% for you know, affordable housing for Guatemalans. But the other 80% has got to go to people with money.
Well, this work, have they done this in other cities, or is this all just entirely, as you and Brian hinted, just an economic scam for somebody to make money?
Well, it's this particular thing, you know, the other part, it's another whole part, good part of it, is that the U.S. government, the Biden administration, is giving big grants for these conversions. So you'll get the federal money, you'll get the TIF money, you'll get everything. And it'll work out great. It'll work
for developers, great. Right?
Well, for the, you know, for the banks that own, you see the we won't go too much into it, but all the banks, the regional banks invested enormous amounts in the office.
Right. Boom.
Boom thing and so forth. And Biden can't afford for these regional banks to go belly up. So you have to have something to save these regional banks. And this helps save the regional banks.
Well, good. So we can rest assured. All right. All right. And so everyone read this. The Glendale Trade Chronicle, this is their lead editorial. Okay. And now we're getting back on track here. We have Dr. Janik Joshi. And Janik, I apologize for the scheduling snafu there. We're joking. Friday is going to be Fireball Friday. Fireball is our little shots. And maybe I did not actually have them. Maybe I had one or two extra. Hey, so thank you for your time. Thank you for your flexibility here. Appreciate it.
No worries. That's fine. I'm just not doing anything, just sitting here twiddling my thumb. No.
Yeah. Not like I have a campaign to run, Julie. Hey, well, first I want to congratulate you. You picked up the endorsement from the Colorado Republican Party for the CD8 seat. So congratulations on that.
That's great.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. I'm honored. I'm humbled with the confidence that the state GOP party has shown on me. And I have my pledge that I will not let you guys down.
Ah, well, all right. But how are things going?
Well, they are picking up now. We will start some radio TV ads coming up. We did all that. I believe it should start in next day or so. We have volunteers who will go ahead and start to contact neighborhoods and all that. So, we are slowly getting the endorsement of different groups also, and that helps with the contributions too.
Right. So,
that's where we are right now.
One thing you have to know, the rhinos are not happy. So, you know, if ever the rhinos are not happy, that's a good thing. And that Gabe Evans did not get the endorsement. But Gabe Evans, is a, you know, he's endorsed by Americans for Prosperity. And I think there are a lot of reasons why the Colorado GOP did not endorse him. And so anytime you read like Colorado politics, you know, they're going on and on about, you know, just quoting establishment people. So that's how you know you're on the right side then and you got the right endorsement. When sort of the unendorsement of the establishment Americans for Prosperity, that's a good thing, Janik, I think.
Well, and it's kind of interesting because the American for Prosperity, they were the ones behind all the negative stuff that went on against four of us in 2016 primaries too. They were involved, and actually one of the guy who is running in CD5 right here in Colorado Springs, he was behind it. I would not say the name, no. But you get the idea. And yeah, they had spent a lot of money just trying to say, I killed the patient and this and that, which has never happened. Even right now, actually, I saw in the article that the dam says that I lost my license. Well, actually, it had nothing to do with that. I fought the government because they wanted me to go do some training. And I said, I don't need any more training. So it had nothing to do with any patient care.
Right. Oh, I know. They've
the
already
looked ads, at I mean, you know, I don't know if you saw the Gateway Pundit today, but there's this candidate out in Nevada. And I think Gabe Evans noted him when he was saying what a great organization that the Americans for Prosperity were, because they were knocking on thousands of doors in Nevada. And his guy is named by Sam Burns. Sam Brown. And he's a very, you know, he'd been a hero in Afghanistan. He got harmed by a bomb and got abrasions and face disfigurations, but you know, he looked like just a perfect candidate. So they did the kind of underground thing where they went to his campaign people and said, well, what's he really for? Said, oh God, he's just owned by Americans for Prosperity. he'll oppose Trump everywhere he can. He's just a Mitch McConnell guy. Don't worry about it. You know, he's certainly not. He'll say he's pro-Trump, but he's not pro-Trump at all. And you ought to get an undercover crew to do that to Gabe Evans, because that's exactly what they do. I mean, that's exactly what he's going to do. I mean, you know, I think the Americans for Prosperity supported Doug Lamborn when he ran. And he voted, like he voted for reauthorized 702, spying on us. He voted for the Democratic budget. He voted for Ukraine aid. He you know, he did everything.
Yeah.
And that's what Gabe Evans will do. So whatever money you have, just run negative ads.
Well, and also about 2 months ago, I believe it was just before our assembly, there was an article in Politico, and this fund, the Speaker's Fund, which is supporting him, and I think his name is McIntosh, who is the president of the Club for Growth, had asked this guy, Don Constan, that is Speaker looking for lap dogs. I mean, he asked him right there, and he kind of was saying that, yeah, Speaker is looking for lap dogs. And so my opponent, with no experience of any kind, he's not battle hardy like me, who has been beaten up enough and still survived and is standing up tall. He will be a lap dog. We know that. And I will be a hound, as I say. I will. So that's what it is. And it has been very interesting that even Kevin McCarthy last week, didn't he come out and he said that I could not leave with the idea that I would keep my job with the support from the Democrats. So, I mean, at least Kevin McCarthy has some principles.
Yeah,
Johnson has none. And no. So don't we have a saying that a person is known by the company he keeps?
Right. Well, it is. It's interesting. You're right. I mean, Hakeem Jeffries, the Democrat minority leader in the House, openly says, I'm running the show here, right?
I'm
running the show. Well, and I want to talk, because we won't keep it real long because we've already tied you up enough, but I know I want you to talk about your record, because you are battle hard. You have been through the war. You've been through the hard races. You've been attacked. And not only that, but once you were elected, you stood your ground. I mean, I want you to talk a little bit about your performance and your record, because you were a state legislator for many years.
Correct. I was in the state house for 6 years. I was elected 3 times in 2 different districts because they redistricted me, which I was kind of expecting. And I kept my principle. I mean, I which are basically smaller government, lower taxes, and less regulations. And as you know, any bill that comes in front of the committee first, they always have this little pink paper attached to it where they have what it will cost the state budget, how many full-time equivalent will be needed if this bill passes, and so on. And anytime I saw any number there other than zero, I voted no, practically. I said, I don't want to spend anybody's money. Particularly, but at that time, I just had a brand new grandson. And I always said, you are stealing money from my grandson. So I don't want him to grow up and say, hey, grandpa, why you didn't do anything? You were there. And I said, yeah. No, now I can say, hey, at least I voted no for you and saved you money. And
you all got a Liberty scorecard.
Yeah, and that's why my scorecard was always higher or highest because I voted the right way and I voted with my words. What I said, I did. So I walked.
Gabe Evans had a 67 for his first year because I gave him so much grief last time he came. He said, I made it up to a C. You know, oh, great. Good for you.
Well, and what's good, Janik, too, is, and I'd like you to talk a little bit about this, is you did that. I mean, you were under pressure, right? There were some Republicans who say the same things you do, but then tried to twist arms to undo those very things, right?
Well, of course, because like when we had the budget that came out of the House, because they alternate the budget once it comes out, it starts in the Senate and goes to the House, or starts in the House and goes to the Senate. So when Speaker McNulty started the budget, he was hoping that it would pass unanimously. That was his goal. And three of us were spoilers. So me, Chris Holbert, and Randy Bumgardner, we voted no on that budget. Because we said during the campaign, we said we will not increase the budget. And first year, it was fine. It stayed around $19 billion. Second year, we went by a whole billion. And we said, nope.
What do we have to show?
Look at where it is. I mean, what? It was over $40 billion that they passed this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's astonishing to me because I have to say my life hasn't gotten $40 billion better.
Actually, it has gotten worse. We just heard from the previous speaker how it is. And I don't know if he mentioned, too, I kind of dropped out for a little bit.
No, that's fine.
Now they are flying people directly. What? Over 200,000 were flown directly from other countries into United States without the knowledge of the local people or permission. I mean, I could not believe when I saw that article.
Right. Well, and they're flying. Like if you and I fly, we have to have our ID. You have to go through all these security checks, things like that.
None
these
are people necessary. Who.
Just front of the line, when they fly Southwest, maybe they don't have to go in those tier things, right?
We have. But he's talking about people who are flown from foreign countries into the United States. Exactly. Once they're here, they get another card that allows them to fly around the country.
Right. Right?
Yeah, we've got to all become illegal aliens. It's such a life.
We saw this article that Denver is now number 3 on the scale as the most dangerous city.
Right.
And people just don't get it. That why that change? I mean, what happened in last 2 years? There is only one thing that happened. They got over 40,000 illegals.
Right, exactly.
And I remember.
But we're all benefiting from it. Remember that?
Yep. And I saw that they now have demands and they want this and that.
Let me ask you, as you travel around and talk to people, Are people, I guess two questions, kind of what's your sense of the people's awareness of just how messed up things are? And also when you talk to people, I mean, is there an awareness that like an Americans for Prosperity that, or I guess a need and a hunger for candidates who will stand up for their principles? I mean, are people more aware that sometimes some candidates say one thing and a campaign trail and then do something entirely different when they get to D.C.?
Definitely. I mean, people are getting smarter, particularly the grassroots. And with the social media now, they can check it out a lot of things. So now what you say, they don't just buy anymore. I mean, they will check it out and then they'll send you an email or something like a text message or whatever, which is good. I think we have educated electorate, which is really good that they will check you out and make sure. So only person who has to worry is if you are a liar. If you are not, then you don't have to worry, because if they check it, then they see what you told them. So that's number one. But number two, they also know that the government is lying, because they say, oh, the inflation is only 3.6%. And you go to the grocery store and you see price of milk or eggs or whatever, or you go to the gas station and you are paying more than a dollar than what you used to pay. That's not 3%. People are not that stupid.
Well, Janik, and let me give you just sort of an open-ended question. Anything else you would want to say? And then I also want to give you a chance to say where people can go to help or donate or at least find out more about you.
Yeah, they can always go to my website, www.janakforcda.com. And they can just go on the top donate button and they can help. That would help out a lot, as now is the time for us to do TV at radio, et cetera. And that would definitely help out. And they can also, on the same, they can send me a message that they would like to volunteer. And we will then also contact them and figure out what or talk to them and see what they can do. Because now it will be going in the neighborhoods or even phone calls, text message, and so on and so forth.
Right. And I want to let people know.
You know, the one thing is, and it's hard to express this more, it's really good versus evil. Gabe Evans appears like a pretty woman, but a pretty, you know, a pretty face can have an evil mind. He says everything that's right. He says he backs Trump. He says he's for Second Amendment. He says he's for this. He says he's for that. And he's for none of those things. And he'll be no different than Doug Lamborn. Lamborn got in and, you know, he voted every time for every sleazy deal there was. And so will Gabe Evans. And he'll come back to Colorado and he'll say, oh, I'm fighting for this. And as you know, Janik, and it's true down at the State House, you know, we don't hold our politicians anywhere near enough. Because they just come home and they say they're doing this and say they're not doing that. They're doing just the opposite. And I've sat around when they've said it and everybody said, oh, that's great. Yeah. And you just go, he's lying. He's lying.
Well, a lot of them also, when they come home, they don't meet with constituents either. I think that was one of the issue with Doug Lamborn too.
He was, I think he was supported in his first run by Americans for Prosperity. And Americans for Prosperity really is an awful organization. If they're backing a candidate, you're getting a hidden rhino.
Open borders too.
Well, and just to help you out too, one thing too, I want to, if anybody is thinking about volunteering, because I've done some of the phone calling and some of the text messaging, it really is pretty simple. You guys have their program, like everything, right? Their programs now. So it's not like you have to, for instance, if you want to just send text messages, you can just send text messages. Or a lot of times you do it where you just push the buttons and then they have like Janik's recording. It's not like you're having to, what mostly they need is your phone and your fingers to do the dialing. It's not hard at all, and usually it's kind of, well, not usually, every time I've done it it's fun because everybody's sitting around, so
doing fireballs.
I want to do fireballs. Tanik, thank you much for your time.
Well, thank you very much for having me too. We'll see you around.
Yes, we will see you. All right.
Janet, you take care. Bye-bye.
Janet Joseph for CD8 there. Got the endorsement today from the Colorado GOP. The other person who got the endorsement today was Ron Hanks in CD3 over Stephen Varela there. And these are people
It's really Jeff Hurd. Well, I guess Hurd didn't go through the assembly.
So right. He didn't go through the assembly process. Right. And there's a giant kerfuffle among the establishment people about is why should the COGOP be endorsing people? And I would simply point out, as you were saying, Chuck, and Gabe Evans is endorsed by the Americans for Prosperity. Stephen Varela is not, but I think you're right. I think Stephen Varela could be sort of an Americans for Prosperity plant to do the attacks on Ron Hanks.
It's obvious what it is. He used to go in there, take the conservative votes out, and Jeff Hurd will just stay away from it all, and he'll just waffle in.
Right. And keep in mind, the reason we're hammering on Americans for Prosperity is their American border, but they're the organization that backed Nikki Haley with tens of millions of dollars solely to defeat Donald Trump. When that didn't work, they turned around and openly said, okay, now we're going to do our best to elect anti-Trump congressional candidates, right?
Yeah. And senators.
Right. So they can stop it. We have a couple more minutes. We have Sherry on line one. Is it Sherry? Is this you? Who do we have?
It's Sherry.
Okay. Hey, Sherry.
Hi. I love your guests, and I wanted to pass on some information. This information actually came from a guy on TikTok who goes by Older Millennial, but it's fascinating. He tells us that BlackRock, which I don't know if you get those calls that everybody wants to buy your house. Well, yeah. BlackRock's been buying up large amounts of single-family homes, and many of those properties that they bought are in the state of New York. So BlackRock owns thousands of homes in New York. New York just declared that they're going to pay homeowners $125 a day per migrant per bedroom. So means the taxpayers in New York are going to pay $3,750 per migrant per month. And all those houses that BlackRock bought, so let's say they got a four-bedroom, that means they could house four migrants, and at $3,750 per migrant, then that means that property would be bringing in $15,000 a month. And if any of those migrants have a family, that's additional money on top of it. And that money is guaranteed by the government of New York. So BlackRock doesn't have to worry about anything.
I was going to say, and it goes to BlackRock, right? So that's a pretty decent investment.
Exactly.
While they're at it, they can send ballots to all those folks living there now too, right? How convenient, right?
Yes, but think about the census. So you got 12 to 15 million illegals, and now they're in homes. They're right.
Right.
So
right.
Perfect.
Well, and who knows? Yeah. They may or may not be there. Right. Somebody just lists them as being there, and then in the meantime, you're right, and they're already pushing in Congress to change some of the census stuff to say that they should be able to count illegal immigrants as part of the census, so they can add representation. So.
It's all going to work out perfectly.
Yeah, Sherry. Now I'm depressed.
All these young people who want to buy a house, there's no inventory. They can't buy a house.
Thank you. I'm going to look into that. That's huge.
Another thing we got to get. There are all these deals we got to get in.
Exactly. Hey, Sherry, thank you. Great information as always. Appreciate it. And talking about bailouts, Chuck, I don't know if you saw sort of a final point. Mike Pence apparently owes $1.3 million from his campaign stuff. I guess he wasn't getting some of those cheapskates anti-Trumpers apparently did not come through. So he owes $1.3 million. So he wants to cash in on some kind of taxpayer funded program that will pay off his campaign expenses.
he stood up for the Constitution.
So there you go. That's everything. Everything working for you.
Perfectly. Nothing could be finer than
the deals are on. Hey, that's going to wrap it up for us, you guys. We won't do it every Friday, but I think on occasion.
Unless we get hooked. Unless we all need to go to Betty Ford or something. But
it'll be Fireball Friday, and we'll do that. And I think we're going to have John Conlon on. He had an interesting article about how the Democrats, he said, you know, when you were a kid, you had the sock puppet, and it could be whatever you wanted. And he said, that's the whole Democrats right now. All they have are sock puppets, and they create their sock puppets. And he's saying Republicans need to quit buying into it. He said, when your kid says, look, this is a mermaid, you're like, no, it's not a mermaid. You know what I mean? I don't need to buy. And he's got an interesting column, so I'll have him on on Fireball Friday. But that'll do it for us today. Thank you.
All right. Everybody take care and get your fireballs.
We'll see you Friday.